Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. All right, beauties, the new year is right around the corner. We all know that means new year, new you. And I don't care how cliche it is, I am willing to bet that you, just like me, have a host of goals that you have set for yourself in 2022. So myself and my team at The Fitness App want to help you get an awesome jumpstart on your New Year's goals with 25% off an annual subscription to carry you all the way through 2022 with personalized workout programs, custom meal plans, meditations, sleep support, community, all your tracking goals met within the app, and so much more. Check it out today. It's $89, down from $119, and it is for a limited time only. So if you want this deal, jump on it. thefitnessapp.com/podcastdeal.
Welcome to Keeping It Real, Conversations with Jillian Michaels.
All right, team. Today's conversation is with Amy Cameron O'Rourke. Now, she's the author of a new book called The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. And she's been in the professional care business for 40 years. So all transparency, I have really three deep, very, very close friends and one good acquaintance that are dealing right now with aging loved ones. Cindy being one of them, my business partner, Giancarlo, my dear friends, Manny and Barb. And another friend of mine who's a very close friend of Deshanna's named Jenny. They're all, I mean, oh my God. And the stories I hear of, like, my mom fell again, trying to decide whether to give her a hip replacement. He hasn't realized he hasn't showered. Should I take away the keys? Giancarlo's dad. I don't know how I could leave. Like, his dad has had brain surgery twice. And G is like, I just got to give him these little things to look forward to. And Giancarlo's like, put Nest cameras in all over their house. And he's learned how to take over their screen so he can pay all their bills. And it's like, it's just, I'm like, oh my God, G, I don't know how you're fucking doing it. I don't know how you're doing it.
Everybody I know, I mean, I know it's our, for me, it's our age, but it's like,
it is.
Every time I get on with my friends, it's so, what's going on in your life?
Yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, I have lived in fear of dealing with this with my parents because I've seen so many go through it, and it's devastating. And not only do I live in fear of going through it with my parents, I live in fear of my children going through it with me. deep fear, serious, honestly, have a plan, bite the cyanide capsule, not going to do it kind of issue. And I'm not saying any of that's right. I'm admitting that I've got issues. That's, you're going to see a lot of that throughout the show. But what I love about the book is that it helps you come to terms and prepare before you get to that age. So, you know, if you're in your 50s, 60s, you're preparing for being 80s, 90s. You've told everybody what you need. You've put the money away for your care. You know, if you've got that luxury, it helps you prepare for all of that. And if you are the child of an aging loved one, it helps you learn how to best take care of yourself, how to provide dignity for your loved one, how to make difficult healthcare decisions, how to get the support you need for yourself and them, right? So that you can make educated decisions across the board. Do you take the keys or not? You know, like Amy has an example where she talks about a scale, right? Like the child's like, okay, we're going into an assisted facility, and the parent's like, I'm willing to get a couple meals delivered, right? Like, how do you bridge that gap? How do you do this in a way that's effective? It's a really special book that I think it's an inevitability in large part, right? We're all going to get old and die. And most likely we will all have an aging loved one and we will all go through this. It's just like having a kid. If you have a kid, you're going to have a toddler, you're going to have a newborn, you're going to have a teenager. You know, you're going to have all these phases and they're not easy.
It's like the Scarlett O'Hara syndrome. I won't think about that today. I'll think about it tomorrow.
Right.
But you know what? If you think about it today, tomorrow won't be so hard. And I used to think, I was saying this to Amy actually, that when I was a kid, it was like, you know, your grandparents were, they've always been grandparents, right? They were never kids. They were never at their stages. Your parents are parents. Your grandparents are older parents. And that was that. And as you get older, you realize, no, everybody goes through all these years. And as we get older and start talking more about illness and doctors, it's not because that's the cliche that you're supposed to do at that age. It's because that's what's going on. That's what's going on for you. And it's new. And shocking because, you know, you've never been 80 before or something like that. So I just find that this is it's an important conversation to have. It's important that people talk about this and not just sort of sweep it under the rug so that when you do go through it, it's a little bit familiar and you have resources.
Less scary and you have resources. Exactly.
And it's also really important that you open the dialogue now. I think, with your parents, with your children, before they're old, before you're old. And I mean, yeah, Amy's even, you know, says, find out what they want, what they need, so that you can honor that later.
Yeah. I mean, she literally takes you through, we're going to talk about all this, preparing for your parents' fragile years, finding a caring place for your parent, the home care option, caring for the memory impaired and others with special challenges. Farmageddon, prescriptions for disaster. Oh my God, I have seen, by the way, I remember when they screwed up Heidi's dad's meds and he almost died from it. Like stopping repeated hospitalizations and overtreatment. I have a friend who they just gave his 80-year-old mother a hip replacement. And guess what happened? She fell again right after the surgery. Yeah. Finding your way through the maze of healthcare, insurance, and VA benefits. Providing end-of-life care with compassion and grace. So she covers everything.
Yeah.
And we're going to dig in right now.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
All right, team, we are back with author Amy Cameron O'Rourke, who's been a professional care manager for 40 years. It's a heck of a long time. And we're talking about her new book, The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
So I got to be honest, I had just mentioned to you before we started together, like I can't even bring myself to read this because I live in fear of going through this. I have four friends that are going through this right now with aging parents. And I don't even want to mince words. I feel like maybe I should, but it's like, it's hell. It is hell for them. It terrifies me. So maybe what I would like to maybe take out of this, right, by the time we're done talking, is that we send people to get the book so that they know how best to manage this and they come out with some hope and some feeling of control. Because my friends, I think, are feeling not just the loss of watching their parents slip away, but they feel so horrendously out of control. So I want to start with a little bit about you. You've been doing this for 40 years. Can you tell us about that? How'd you get into this?
Well, I was one of those high school students that volunteered at a girls' club, and the girls' club volunteered at a nursing home. So at age 13, I got exposed to older people, and I just loved it. I just loved the honesty. I loved the intimacy. I loved their perspective. They'd been through life and they kind of knew their values, and it appealed to me. I became a nursing home administrator, and I opened up my own care management company 20 some odd years ago. Wow. Just because I love working with older adults. And then over the years, I realized, and I'm glad you said that, Jillian, about your own anxiety and your own fear and your own, painful. It's very, very painful watching your parents go from how they were to, you know, being fragile and being a little slower and not being their former selves. And it's a different kind of grief. And I wanted to get the book into the hands of the children. Yes. To help kind of break through some of the maybe denial, some of the anxiety, because I think anxiety gets lowered once you've stepped into it a little. The hardest part is right before you make that decision. And then once you get in, your anxiety actually goes down because you can get the support that you see that you'll need. Similar to, and I don't know if you have children, but
you do.
Okay.
Two savages. Not nearly as much of a savage as their mother, but they're both savages.
Yeah, but they're both savages. So you get what to expect when you're expecting. And then you're told about the terrible twos. And then you're told about the teenagers. So the fragile years is that.
Yes,
like it's a stage.
When you say, you know, once you make the decision, it seems like there's a million decisions. Which decision are we initially talking about, whether to get them into a care facility?
The decision is that you are, and it can be at any age, and that's the going into a facility is a crisis. So the decision is, if your parents are approaching 80, you're going to open up your eyes and you're going to start listening really carefully to the kinds of things they're talking about. You're going to be there, like show up. So, and by that, I mean, you know, older adults will talk about, they'll mention a friend who got hospitalized, or they'll have a neighbor that died suddenly, or they, you know, the spouse becomes ill. And so that's what I mean by making the decision to step in and ask questions to join them in the journey of growing older.
Oh God, you make me want to cry just talking about that. And like, I'm a bit estranged from both my parents. And it's funny because with my dad, you know, we haven't really spoken in 30 years. We did have some brief reconnection when I was 27. Maybe again, I think in my early 30s. And I recently heard from him because his eldest brother died. And I'm ashamed to admit it, but I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not fucking doing it. And it's like, no way, dude, I'm not. And I just, that's Amy. I watched my friends go through hell. And I thought, like, for 30 years, you've not been my father. Now I'm going to have to sit here and watch you die. Cause that's basically why you're writing me, right? Like, your oldest brother just died. You're 80. And now I know, like, that's what you want. Right. And Amy, I don't think I have the strength of the courage. And I'm like looking for outs left, right, and center. I'm like, no, I don't owe you anything. You weren't my father. And I used to say, well, this is the one benefit of not being close to my father, because I never have to go through this hell that I'm watching people go through. And I like, how do you, if someone's a coward, how do you give them, like, does the book help them have the courage to face this? Cause I genuinely, like, I know people that do regret not listening the way you're talking about. Like, how do you muster up the courage to show up? It's hard enough to show up as a parent, let alone in this situation.
Well, it's funny. I was estranged from my father for 17 years.
Oh, shit. Okay. So you're the perfect person to ask.
Well, I say that because you're being very revealing and I appreciate your honesty. And I went through that. Do I, don't I, do I, don't I? And I wrestled with it, you know, and I'd bring it up to a couple girlfriends and I'd talk about it again. And then I realized, I thought, am I going to be okay when he dies? Am I going to be okay? Yeah. And I realized for me, not for you, but for me, I wasn't going to be okay if I didn't try one more time. So that was my, but I would, and what I would say to anybody in this situation is put yourself in a process to make that decision, whether you do or whether you don't.
Fair.
But put yourself in a process so that whatever decision you come to, you're resolved about it and you're at peace with it. And if you're not at peace, then the decision's not been made.
Yes. I've had friends that are dealing with what responsibilities to take from their parents. Do they remove them out of their apartment and put them in a retirement home? Do they take away their ability to drive? Do they, and is there a finite way to make these decisions? Because they seem racked with guilt about it. Do I take her out of her home? She's comfortable here. But then, you know, she's like getting into this and she can't do this. And then she backed into the this and she can't eat the groceries. And it's like, they're tormented with these decisions. Does the book help them know how to make those kinds of decisions?
Well, I would buy the book because it has a lot of practical information when you're in those places to know what to do.
Right.
If we got back to, you know, so you know, if you're going to step in and take the keys away, well, you might want to get some help with ways to do it and ways not to do it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now,
I got it.
Before we jump to taking the keys away, I would say the most important thing to do is to see if you can get a bond going and have them open to your stepping in and helping, you know, and secondly, this is a hallmark. Children want to do something that's on a scale of 10 and the older adults ready to do something on a scale of 2.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So yes. the child wants to move mom into an assisted living and the mother might accept the housekeeper coming. Right. So
yes.
You have those. And so I'm a natural mediator because I do this for a living.
Wow.
And so you find out what the older adult might accept. You know, is it a restaurant meal delivered for them on Friday nights? Is it the neighbor driving them to church on Sunday? Is it, you know, but starting small. And I'm going to say this, and it happens all the time. Adult children have anxiety, high anxiety. So if you're self-aware and you know what you do in anxiety, get help with not doing that, because it's usually getting mad or trying to control the situation.
I would get frustrated because I would feel scared and helpless. I do that with my kids.
Right.
My daughter, sometimes I'm like, I'm sorry. I just feel this makes me feel so helpless. I don't know how to help you. You know, she has the bandwidth at least to be like, Mom, you're freaking me out. And I'm like, all right, okay. But yeah, I mean, I do that with my children, let alone with a parent that I feel like I can't control or I can't help. I know this is one of the most stressful things a person can go through, being a caretaker. What kind of help do you cover that in the book, like ways to manage your own stress and ways to preserve your sanity? I've heard, you know, Maria Shriver talk about her parents and Alzheimer's, and I had the fortune of knowing her and working with her, and oh my God, the stories, you'd think your heart was going to split open. You know, my original podcast producer, not to take anything away from Cindy, I watched her go through Alzheimer's with her father for years, and it was torture. Like, it tortured my friends, let alone their parents. I'm watching my business partner go through it with his father right now. Is there some self-care measures that you recommend? You say getting help, get a therapist. Like, what should we do to get that kind of support so we don't lose our shit, so to speak?
So there's one website, aginglifecare.org. So there's care managers all across the country. And there's 2,000 of them across the country. So that's one place to go. Two, counseling in whatever form is comfortable for you. If it's your rabbi, if it's your pastor, if it's a professional, if it's a psychologist, mental health counselor, or a really good friend who has the ability to be extremely honest and process things as they're coming up, because everything is new. You know, Mom has to use a walker now. Mom, I have to take her to the doctor. Mom isn't remembering to pay her bills. Mom isn't. So I'm a believer in, you know, if you process it out loud with someone before you go in, it kind of helps the anxiety lower a little bit. Support groups are fabulous.
Oh, that's so smart. Of course. Support, yeah, it's just groups. Like with weight loss. Sure. That's
Exactly. Yeah. So there's nothing better. And don't talk to a friend who's never been through it. That will make you feel worse, because they'll flip out all these ideas that won't work because they don't know. So talk to friends who have been through it. It's like anything else. Like,
oh, my friends who are going through it, they talk to me and I just sit there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then it's like, I'll call and just be like, I'm thinking of you. And then you say something dumb, like, is there anything I can do? And in your mind, you're like, I can't do shit. There's nothing I can do for you right now.
Right.
You know, you're thinking that to yourself. And it's like one of my friends, they're a couple, a Manny and Barb, like dear friends of mine. And his mother is now fallen every week. And it started with Genevieve fell. Genevieve has a concussion. Genevieve fell again. Genevieve broke her hip. Genevieve just fell with a broken hip. And she's at a nursing care facility where they left her on the toilet and said, pull the rope when you're done, I guess, to let us know you're ready to get up. But she has dementia. So she got up and she fell with a broken hip. And it's like, I'm like, okay. And my friend Manny said to his wife, he's like, I can't make this decision. I can't make this decision. Like, even just whether or not they gave her the hip replacement, right? Like, do they put her through that? What my friend is like, how do I make these decisions? Is there a way to really sift through the right answer? Do you just go with your gut? Like, do you need to make the decision that's right for you? Like, well, I dotted every I and I crossed every T. Are you that person? Or like, what's the answer?
The answer is, well, one, you take the, whatever your parent has said to you in the past are indicators of what they would want you to do. And if you're their decision maker, you have substituted judgment. So you're making decisions that they would want to have made. And I'll give you an example, same scenario, friend of mine, healthcare surrogate, dad has a memory impairment. He fell and broke his hip. Okay. She called me at midnight. She's at the hospital. And she asked me what she should do. And I said, well, I was there with your dad. I know, but you remind yourself what he said to you when he was first diagnosed. And it was no extraordinary measures, none. And so she decided not to have the surgery, and the hospital staff made her feel like, you know,
she was a monster, right?
A monster. He died 5 days later, and she is so at peace.
Good.
She's so at peace. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But she had the conversation with him when he got diagnosed, and he had a pattern that all she had to do was follow.
I understand.
You know, use history as your guide. And then if you don't really have that, if you haven't been talking to him, you don't really know, I'd hire a care manager for a couple of hours and get their guidance for all of that. It's the best couple hours you will ever hire, because we know the systems. We know healthcare, we know rehab, we know memory care, we know all of it. So when you're in the middle of that crisis and your parent's fragile, the decision you make for someone that's in the fragile years are way different than when they're 65. Because the less you do, the longer they're going to live, usually.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right. Right. So there is a, because care in the United States is capitalized, it's a capitalist. So yes. The more physicians and providers do, the more money they make. And when you're fragile, like, you know, 85, 86, 88, and you've got a lot of things going on, you have a surgery and you could really be bedridden for the rest of your life. You know, I had a lady that say, if I have this procedure, will I be able to eat?
Oh, God. Oh,
will I be
God.
Able to walk? You know, those are the questions that I like to talk to clients about and then make the decision. Sometimes I say to the, when they go to the hospital, I'll say, if they're not going to do something as a result of a test you're running, don't run the test. Like,
of course,
you do a swallow study and then you realize they can't swallow, so you're going to put a feeding tube in. Don't do the swallow study because they're not getting a feeding tube. But if you're a daughter or a son and you're charged with managing your parents, you need professional coaching because you are in over your head. Like,
yes, very much so.
Over your head. You are. That's right. And if you have once you meet a couple people in the little world that is healthcare with older people, you'll get a network of people you can call that can guide you if you're in the crisis.
And all of that about how to get the help and the guidance you need is in this book.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I completely forgot to take a break with you. I'm so sorry. We're going to take a quick break. And then we'll be back with Amy Cameron O'Rourke talking about her new book, The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. We'll be right back.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
All right. Everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton. And I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra. I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, guys, we are back with professional care manager Amy Cameron O'Rourke, and we're talking about her new book, The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. All right, I got kind of a tough question that's not popular for you. I have friends that say, like, what do we do when we run out of money?
Well, there are people, care managers, that help people secure public benefits to pay for care that know all the systems.
Oh, wow.
AgingLifeCare.org would be a website, and the name of that service is called Entitlement. And so you put in the zip code or you put in the city name and you find somebody that can help you at a minimum do a consultation to say what is available. Sometimes they're veterans benefits available. Sometimes you can combine Medicaid and veterans benefits. Sometimes you can sell a life insurance policy. Sometimes maybe using an equity line on a house makes sense. So they can help you brainstorm ideas that okay. you can follow through on to try to get money to pay for care if you haven't started having these conversations early, like, what's your vision, Dad, for care? How are you thinking about it? How are you know what things cost? Do you, is there any long-term care insurance? What's my role supposed to be?
If you're so smart, you should prepare now. If you don't have a parent going through it, prepare now.
Yeah. And see how open they will be to what help you would have to offer. I don't recommend using your own money to help pay for care if you don't have it. That is an accident waiting to happen. I have run into a lot of, I call them angels, you know, sons and daughters that are helping their parents pay the bill, but they have the money. And we're not all in the position to be able to do that. But I would get professional help and see how things could be paid for. We've moved people from one state to another to access better benefits.
Oh, so smart. God, you are just a pro. Yeah. Straight savage, you know everything, of course, which is why I've been doing this for 40 years. You really, really, really are like the expert in this. What a gift to be able to speak with you and for you to put out this book. Dignity. One of my greatest fears is this happening to me, and I pray for the massive coronary. Like, I just want to drop dead. both of my grandmothers dropped dead. I was devastated as a kid. And I look back and think, what a blessing, because we didn't have to watch them suffer or wither away. Like, and I think what scares me so much is like, I never want my kids to remember the mom that couldn't wipe her own ass. And I hear about it all the time. I had to wipe my dad's ass. No, I don't want it. I don't even want God to test me with it. I don't want it. I don't want my kids remembering wiping my ass. I don't judge anybody that's had to do it. God bless you. I would do it if I had to do it for my parents. And I realize that it's the loss of what feels like dignity to me. And I'm wondering, like, is there a way to help your loved ones maintain their dignity when their privileges are being taken away and they're losing their ability to kind of know what's real and what isn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, keep in mind that I've been doing this a long time. So I have perspectives that, you know, yes, you do lose your dignity. And yes, you do become very, very vulnerable. And I use my father often because he set an example of, you know, how do you do it? How do you do it? You know, he would call, and first time he was ever bathed by someone, he called and was like, "You'll never believe what happened to me today. You'll never believe it." He was like alarmed and upset. And I said, "Tell me all about it. Tell me all about it." And she was big and she was scary, and he'd never been bathed by a woman before. And I just sat and listened.
Amy.
Right, right. Now, I will tell you that he let me in emotionally, and my dad hadn't been prone to letting me in emotionally. So for me at that time, it was a beautiful conversation because he let me support him, and I had never had that opportunity before. And I like to tell people, you know, you do lose some dignity. It's a reality of it. And so it's like anything else. How do I do this? How do I go through this? And, you know, you verbalize the struggle of it because we're all faced with something new and something to learn, something to show our children. How do you do this? You know, I watched my dad go over and cut the food up for his table mate. I was like, with dementia, he could see, pulled out a Swiss Army knife. You know what I mean?
It's awesome.
Oh, and cut up the guy's banana. You know what I mean? Like, and now what am I left with? You know, my dad, who wasn't a real emotional guy, I got a memory of him freaking out about the girl bathing him. And then I got a memory of him cutting the guy's banana. You know what I mean? Like, but I made a decision to step into the world with him. And I resigned from boards. I told my friends I wasn't going to, I changed my lifestyle because he was the priority at that time.
What if we're not that selfless though, Amy? I don't think I'm that selfless.
Then you will figure out a way for them to get their needs met by somebody other than you.
Got it. Right. And that's what, you know, this is all about.
You yep. hire out, you hire out. And, you know, I tell you, I bathed my mother. My dad wouldn't let me touch him. He was like, I said, "I'm comfortable." He goes, "Well, I'm not."
I'm with him. With him. Good for him.
Right. So, okay.
I love that.
Right. Yeah. So there isn't a, this is the way to do this thing. But if you're emotionally open and you know yourself and you're learning about your parents, then you can step in a way that's comfortable or acceptable to both.
Understood. Yeah.
No, like I said to my dad, you know, he wanted to go, and I'm using these examples because they're teaching examples. He wanted to show me this and I think I put it in the book because it was such a big memory for me. He wanted to drive into rural Michigan and find this place that has the best hamburgers ever. And he's got dementia. Well, I just got in the car and we drove around for 3 hours.
Oh my God. Amy.
3 hours. Now, he's telling me, turn here, turn there. And he's looking at me and he goes, "You don't think I know where I'm going." And I said, "Well, it's a little iffy. I'm not sure." It's a little iffy. Well, we got there. We probably, I don't know, 3 hours in the car, we got to the burger joint and he's looking at me in his dementia, says, "You didn't think I knew, did you?" Right. So, and I said, "All right, I didn't. For that, I'll eat one of those burgers. I hate
that's
burgers.
Right.
It's not, it was disgusting. I ate it."
I love you for that so much.
So, you know, so it's, you're but it's angel. Not like you're bad and I'm good or you're this or I'm that. You find ways that will ease the transition for both, because you're going through a transition like, oh my God, I'm losing my parents. I'm in grief. There's lots of really good books on grief. Final Stages is one of them. And read about it. Like, because they're not, they haven't died, but you're losing them.
Yes.
You
yes.
have denial, you have anger, you have bargaining, you're sad, you're depressed, you're like, and they are too.
Yep. I get it.
They're angry, they're sad, they're emotional, they're like, right? They're in denial. And if those stages collide with each other, it's a problem. But if you go, oh, I'm in grief too. You know what, Dad? This is hard for me.
You know what, Cindy, I know you probably have questions for Amy because you're going through this at the moment. And you know, I was going to give you the floor for a second because I think it's extremely relatable. You're actually living it.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things has been communicating, and only recently realizing that my sister and I are going through this too. And we need to find the balance. We need to find the balance between what they think they need and what we know they need, you know. A friend's going through something with her father. You know, he was adamant he didn't want somebody in there, but he had stopped cooking for himself. But he said, "No, I cook every day." He still says he drives his car, which thank God he doesn't. It just sits there. But if the keys are gone, he knows something's amiss. They did get someone in there. It was going to be for 3 days. And within one week, it was every weekday. He's adaptable and he loves eating. So here's the woman who comes and feeds him. She's golden. There is one issue I did want to ask. He suddenly doesn't shower. So it takes reminding him he hasn't showered. They've been able to get him in there once or twice a week, but it's a struggle. So do you have any tips for that and or anything else?
Well, I think it's a very common problem. And when I think about bathing and the conversations that I've had with people that are older, they're scared. They're scared of the tub. They're scared of slipping and falling. They don't have the, you know, your senses diminish with age. So they don't smell themselves. They don't see the need as often. So if you get two or three times a week, you're doing fantastic. And then other ways, the conversation would be other ways to maintain hygiene. Like you want to prevent a urinary tract infection. That sometimes gets their attention. So what can we do with your private parts? And maybe it's like disposables that we at least get that part clean every day or twice a day. But I would have the caregiver have some conversations. If there isn't a memory impairment, there's a memory impairment.
There is, yeah.
Well, then you're really not talking as much as you're, and resistance to bathing and memory impairment is a stage, it's a stage, it's a stage. Mm. And most of the time they go through it. So you trick them, you cajole them, you modify it. You don't have conversations and try to logic their way to it. Sometimes just handing a washcloth and ending up in the bathroom is enough. You're not having the conversation. You're just handing them things and they're doing it.
Ah, interesting. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes doing it together, like, and here's another little tip. If you're talking to somebody with a memory impairment and you're face to face, sometimes that's hard for them. It's easier and less threatening if you're side by side. So if you're side by side, both washing your hands at the same time, washing your face at the same time, brushing your teeth, then they can just follow along.
Mm. Oh, that's great.
And there are some really great support groups for children with memory impaired parents. And they'll share in the support groups what they do with their parents. So you can get it on a regular basis.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I think about when somebody has a memory impairment is the anxiety that they carry around all the time because mm-hmm. they're losing their mind. So,
yeah.
And then with the bathing, it's so normal, like that resistance to bathing. I'm not sure what that they're seeing physically, the things that we see. Like I've seen somebody with a memory impairment, they're stepping over a flower design on a rug and they're stepping over it. And I thought, so I wonder with the water, if like, is their vision distorted in some way?
Oh, interesting.
You know, like,
yeah, because he's
treating playing. it forensically, if you will, or like a scientist. And then there's some really good literature out there. Actually, this book, it's old. It's one of the first old. It's called The 36-Hour Day.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, what do you feel like if you're a caregiver? And in there, it has the problem or the behavior and then solutions to it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to put that in the show notes.
Amy, honestly, I feel like we could both sit here and ask you questions for hours, which is obviously why you wrote the book. And to be honest, it sounds like not only should people going through this get the book, but people who anticipate going through this should get the book so they can be best prepared. I mean, am I wrong?
No, that's my hope. I had a couple hopes from the writing of the book. One, that adult children that were in the thick of it would get it and it would be of support to them. And then two, helping those that are coming and approaching it would get it also. And for the older adult to read and face it themselves, that, you know, if you're 60 or you're 70, read the book yourself so that you can get ready. You know, if you make it to 65, statistically, you're going to make it to 85.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. Heart attacks usually happen before you turn 65. Not always, but usually. So that being said, that was my hope, is that it would kind of start a conversation of, oh, the fragile years is a stage. We got to understand the stage. What are the stages of this? What are the do's and don'ts in this stage? What do I do before my parent hits the stage? What can propel my parent into the stage? It's so recognizable to me. I want it to be recognizable to everybody, period. Yeah. If a 20-year-old, you know, the grandparents, and like, just so that it's a stage so that, you know, when you have somebody that, you know, the 13-year-old daughter that's just, you know, sullen and hormonal and acting, and everybody goes, yeah, well, that's just being 13. People go, oh yeah, that's having an 88-year-old dad. Oh yeah. Like just having that recognition is what I wanted, because it can bring a lot of meaning in the relationships at the end of life. And that to me is a big motivator, you know, little bits of meaning with your parents, even if they were not that great, you know, you can still get some meaning. You know, I think my parents had their fault, like every other parent, you know, no one's perfect. You try, you do the best you can. And so I have a lot of peace, and I've seen a lot. I had one guy that his mother abandoned him when he was 12.
Oh God.
And he told me, he said, listen, she abandoned me. I don't love her in a way that is built on year after year, but she gave birth to me. And I'm going to do right by her, but don't expect me to cry and be all emotional, because it doesn't exist. But I want to do the right thing for her. Yeah, right. Wow. Right. So, and I saw what that enriched him. I saw him. He was enriched. She was cantankerous, alcoholic, crazy as a loon. I loved her. Adorable artist. She painted the sidewalk leading up to her house. Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. Demented as can be. Artwork that was fabulous, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he got something out of it.
I understand. Well, Amy, you are, I think, maybe a living saint.
You really are. And this book is so special. Everybody who is in the appropriate stage, which I think we've just outlined, is kind of everyone, get the book, The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. It's available everywhere, Amy. And where else can we get more? Websites, social media handles? Where can we find you?
AgingExpert.com is my website. And I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I'm glad to be of service. And I've loved spending the time with you guys today.
Thank you so much. You are fantastic.